a new unit, which is a number of prakim in the Alei Shor, on Emuna. Right? We've seen that he's done units. We had unit on Chesed, we had unit on Yira, the interplay between those two, which was really fascinating. And now we have a multi-part series on Emuna, and last week we learned the 16th parak here, which was a Hakdama to Emuna. And this is a short piece. Again, if you have the Sefer, it's parak Shivasar, the 17th parak in Shar Beis. And if you're on the WhatsApp group, so we posted the PDF of the sources last night. It's a short... The wrong thing?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, David, maybe you want to send it again? Do you have Wi-Fi in here? Yeah, should be Gedrei Emuna Shivasar. It was sent, the right thing? Okay. All right. See?
Sorry.
Once we're talking about Emuna, things get mysterious. Anyway. Okay, Danny. Anyway, so Gidrei Emuna. So this is an interesting parak. And basically, as Revolbi says right here at the outset, Kshanu medabrim al Emuna, yesh lahavchin bein arba inyanim. It's a very short parak, but he says basically there's four different things that we mean, or different dimensions or aspects of Emuna. Again, not all classical, you know, philosophy or theology, but things that are part of a broader umbrella of Emuna. First one, which is the longest one in terms of his presentation, very, very interesting, says Revolbi, Aleph Reishis, Koachu mikochos hanefesh. It's the instinct, the power, the part of a person's personality, perhaps the strongest. This is something that a person feels as part of their neshama, as we might say nowadays, it's part of your hardwiring, that a person cannot live without. What's that? Anu somchim al bnei adam kol od shel huchsugu shakranim. It's something we're just talking about, right? This unfortunately seems to be more and more in our generation, when especially people who you trusted, when that gets punctured, that's a very, very dangerous thing. Why is it so dangerous? Because, in a more positive sense, says Rabbi, our entire lives are premised on trust, on the ability to believe in people and believe in, until they prove otherwise, that they're going to say what we're going to do. And here, as he's going to say, and this is part of what makes the Sefer in general so powerful, I think this parak so powerful, he's not talking up in the luft with highfalutin. He says, just the simple, the way human beings are built, we can't go through life otherwise. Kol ha'yachasim ha'chevratiim, ha'mediniim, ba'olam benuim, al imun hadadi. Every interaction we have on a personal level, all of society is built on the ability to be able to trust the word of other people. U'biladav ein chayim chayim. We can't live otherwise. For example, simple things. Halokeach ma'amin l'mocher shesof rasul mushubachad shamechir hagun. Right? When you go to the store, you're trusting that the person selling you something that is, you know, what is basically the market price, and that what's in the box is what, you know, what he said was going to be in the box. Right? We don't think of that in Emuna the same way we think of, you know, angels flying up and, you know, harps up in heaven. But so there's in terms of the hardwiring of the human nefesh, it's part of who we are. Hachole, notein imun barofei, right? You're going to put all sorts of stuff in your body, or you're going to let alone, you know, go put yourself to sleep and let someone take a sharp knife to you. It's because you trust the doctor. Hatalmid barabo, harav mitalmido, right? Now, the fact that the Rebbe has to trust his Talmud is also important, but certainly the premise of believing in your Rav, right? This is why, again, not to digress, but this is why we've seen, you know, it's not exactly new, but there's such a greater sensitivity towards it the last 20 years, right? That's why it's so shattering to people when Nebuch, you have these rabbinic scandals, right? It's, even if the behavior is bad, but you find 100 other people doing the same thing or worse. But the answer is it's not the same. Because when it's someone that you trusted, right? And it's a foundation of a person's personality, let alone spiritual life, that you need to trust in people. When that gets broken, it can be terrible. But again, the point is, when you go to a shul, when you go to a shir, when you have a rav, you ask a shayla. Right? A person asks a shayla. It could be a life and death shayla, or it could just be a hilchos nida shayla, or a kashra shayla. Right? I'm about to eat this thing because the rabbi said it's kosher. I did this accident in my microwave. The rabbi said it's okay. I don't have to kashra the plate. I'm trusting him that I'm not about to be over on the Basar B'Cholov. Right? Everything is about this trust. The judge, he says, the judge can't trust the person who's there. Right, the person who's the defendant, yeah, the judge can't necessarily trust because, you know, he's obviously no gabadaver. But, you know, after you do the right chakiras, you trust the witnesses. And there has to be some system. You wouldn't have a justice system unless you couldn't feel that at the end of the day you could get to the truth where you could trust somebody. And this is perhaps the most dramatic, right? If you can't trust your parents, again, and as painful as it is when Rebbeim let us down, right, there's nothing as traumatizing for a child as when a parent you know, lets you down. And that's why, again, whether the, in terms of the emotional health of the child, or let alone the religious health of a child, right? It's banui. The whole system is built on, okay, I look up to my father, and that helps me look up to my father in heaven. There's Avinu Avinu Shabashamayim, right? And when you don't have the trust in Avinu, it makes it much harder to trust in Avinu Shabashamayim, right? It's all built on that. A child can't go on without that. Hayachasim HaBein Lumim, because, you know, international relationships, it's all based on a certain ability to take the word of, again, trust but verify, I think. Which president was that, Reagan? Somebody said that, very smart. Trust but verify. But there has to be some level of trust also. The whole world is based on that. And therefore, as a result, last line of the paragraph, Hasedek HaRishon Bi'imun Ze Mevaser Heres V'Churban. Once you have cracks in that, once you no longer have the ability to trust other people, you're basically on the slow process already to destruction. Koach Norahu Ha'emuna. If it was all rotted, if it was all gone, a person had no emuna, if a person had nothing in the world he could believe in, a person cannot live without faith. You have to believe in something. If you had nothing to believe in, you couldn't live. As we just said, all interpersonal relationships are based on, right, the tashtit, the foundation of all interpersonal relationships is some degree of belief, trust. Margish kol adam dechifa pnimit. Every person feels a push, an inner push, lefaneach chida tachayim aide emuna, to solve the riddles of life, to believe in something. Ve'ein lecha adam ba'olam she'ein ma'amin. There is no such thing as a non-believer. Gam ha'kofer ma'amin. And his point here is not just that the atheist in the foxhole believes. He says even when he's not in the foxhole, everyone really believes. It's just a question of what they believe in. But they believe. In Bishita, right, it could be we believe in God, and they believe in communism, socialism, whatever the ism is. But they believe in a certain Shita, or a Rayon, or a certain philosophy, or they believe in a certain person. They become obsessed with whatever the leader is, or whoever the case may be is. Again, we've seen all of these things. Not that it can be, I don't want to be too current or too political. But we see all of these things, Nebuch, in the world that we live in. Ube emunazu, hine ko adukim, and this is, I think, you see this, again, I don't want to editorialize too much, but you see this so much, she'enim roim ba ko pagam v'chol stira. When people invest other people, which is a form of idolatry, which we do in the firm world, unfortunately, sometimes, but his point is, and I think he's right, they also do in the secular world, when you invest that type of absolute trust and belief in some idea or some person, then mamish, whether you call it, whether it's secular or not, it becomes like a religion such that you, even if you were, if it's already been disproven, even if already it's been, you know, the faith in it should have been shattered, a person can't let go. Right? It's ki'ilu like an emunas chachamim. But first of all, there's distortions of emunas chachamim. Right? We don't believe in Catholicism. We don't believe in infallibility. There's plenty of distortions, unfortunately, in our world. But even the good type of emunas chachamim, secular people have just as much emunah. They just believe in, again, I don't want to offend anyone by starting picking isms. But you see it. And you see it in our world, too, again, when even when it becomes obvious and undeniable that certain, whether it's ideas or people who have been looked up to, shouldn't be, you see, again, you see the two things he's describing, you see. The people who understand that whatever they had believed in has been punctured, they're destroyed, they're ice mensch. And it's mamash nebuch. You have to have the rachmanis on such people. And people, other type people can't let go. And therefore they twist themselves into intellectual pretzel to defend and to deny. It's almost embarrassing. But they can't let go. I'm talking, again, there are parallels to this in our world, but his point is that it's even true in the secular world. Because everyone needs to believe. Okay? Ki emunatam ha-bilti ha-ma'aminim be'emet emuna iveriti. Right? True belief, it blinds you. And the point number one of this, and this is why he started off the number one, is it's the koach mi kochos ha-nefesh. This is the most powerful thing a human being needs. Is that a person needs to believe in something, and now the question is what you fill it with. But that's the first basic dimension of emuna, this idea of believing in something and that type of trust. Okay? Anyway, that's number one. Number two. Kmo koach mikochos ha-nefesh, morer gam koach emuna, tziurim b'lev. This is a very interesting idea. He says, and we really, I think we'll only understand it when we get to the end of the paragraph, and luckily it's not a long paragraph. He says, real emuna, if you get to that point, it needs images. We have to be able to imagine and visualize, I guess, maybe, certain images which help us with emuna. The Fik Zekas of a Rambam, he gives an example from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, who says, Da'ata ha-ma'ayin, you should know, ki ha-amana, einu inyan ha-ne'emar b'peh. Right? Belief is not just a mantra you can just repeat over and over again, you know, just verbally, orally. Aval inyan hamitsuyar benefesh. And that's be something that, so to speak, in your kishkes, right, it's so real to you, you could see it. Kishiyaminu bo shuhu kamoshe yitsuyar. That you believe it, it's exactly as if you're visualizing it. Komash anu marvim letzayer leatzmeinu tziyurim ha'atiyim lanu et Torah ha'umidos. I don't know what, anyone know what that abbreviation is? I have no idea, I've never seen that abbreviation in my life that I can think of. Oh, very good, very good. Thank you, Simcha. We have such a chevra here. Okay, I never saw anyone do that, but you're right. Okay, so the more a person, he says, can imagine, can visualize all sorts of, you know, images and visualizations that help get a person to the truth of Torah and Hashem, mechazek emunateinu, right? Your emunah will be stronger. For example, he says, nitan lahagid, ki tziorim amitiim, heinam hamefatech le'emunah. He says, ad kerei kach, he wants to say that a person who has the ability to visualize and to, you know, imagine in the positive sense, that could be the key to emuna. Kasher yivuar od bezrat Hashem. So we'll get to that, he says, in a future parak. And he points out, the first time I was reading this, I didn't understand a word he was talking about in this paragraph until he got to the contrast, which is the last three lines here. And now I think it makes even more sense. But we know, and how do we know that this is true? In the other direction. But sad hara, yedua lano ki hurhuri avera, hainru tziure avera, kashim me'avera. Ki kocha tzir chazak ma'od lohabil yidei ma'asim rabim. I said, right, most people, there's a step before they actually sin, which was the lusting after the sin, the imagine, right, the hirhuri avera, which Chazal referred to, right? The fact that, again, it doesn't have to be that you thought about it and a minute later you did it, right? Sometimes people have hirhuri avera about a certain thing, it could take them years till they finally get up the guts to cross that line to do aver X or Y. But the point is, very rarely does a person, especially with a more serious avera, does a person do it, you know, accidentally or, you know, okay, why not? What the heck? I might as well do it. That's not what happens. It starts with hirhuri avera. And Chazal understood that, and that's why I say hirhuri avera, kashin me avera. It doesn't mean that the hirhurim are objectively worse. That doesn't make any sense. But in terms of what ensnares a person in sin, it's not the moment, right, that the cheeseburger went into your mouth or other such averas. It was the imagining and the dreaming. What would it be like? How good would it be? How yummy would it be? How pleasurable would it be? Those here, hurri avera, those are sticky. Those stick, and we can't get rid of those. And those end up bringing us to things we would never have done otherwise and making us go back to them. Because then we have, once we've done it once, that geschmack. Right? We have that feeling we can't sometimes, unfortunately, let go. Similarly, he says, Kachu tzara kadusha, right? But the power is the same for good as well. Asher chut shal tcheles, and he gives one famous example from Chazal, right, with the tcheles, right? What is the famous medrash Rashi brings? That the whole purpose of that tcheles string, kochol lo'orer dimayon shel hayam, right? The tcheles looks like the sea, the yam is doma to the rakia, to the sky, the kai is doma sky to kisei hakavod, that's ureisim also. Right? So he says, the Torah itself understood. Chazal explicate that in that famous medrash, in that famous Rashi, that you have to have certain visuals. Right? That's why we have certain things in Judaism. Again, there's tcheles, but even just in our modern Jewish world, right? You grow up in a shul, right? The Aron Kodesh, right? There's certain things, there's certain visuals, right? Where all of a sudden you see the thing, we talked about it last week, it's a trigger, right? And that's a powerful thing. If your emunah has certain things to be anchored to like that, it's going to be much more powerful than if it doesn't. That's number two. Number three, he says, something very interesting. Until now, we were talking about, so to speak, going on offense. He says, it's important also to go on defense. You know, blocking and tackling is also important. You can't always just throw the 50-yard bomb. You have to have defense. What's the defense here? Hayidia malahoshiv l'apikarus. Right? The ability to understand in a somewhat defensive way why the apikarsim are wrong, why the heresy is wrong. To understand, you know, this is the closest that we've gotten to something more philosophical. He's been talking about emunah for two prakim, but here we're talking now about something more philosophical, understanding why, you know, really, really there are rational reasons why, you know, to found, as again, faith is not intended to be purely rational, but that doesn't mean there aren't rational foundations. It says the ability to understand those and to sort of speak, defend one's faith. On the one hand, this is very important, he's making a subtle point here. Einenam ikari emunah. He's not saying that ability to play defense, that is not itself a positive thing that you have to be. It's not itself an ikari emunah. I need to know the cosmology proof. I need to study what David C. Hoffman and Mordechai Breuer and whoever, how they defended traditional Yiddishkeit from the biblical critics. You know, you can be a good Jew without knowing it, per se. It's not in the Ikari Yamuna. But, it may not be itself part of the Ikari Yamuna, but it may be a condition to get to the Ikari Yamuna, to get to the right belief. Kigam also anu kori memuna. And on some level, he says, this is a form of, a dimension of faith. Let's explicate. Let's uncover, says Rav Volbi, what role does this dimension have? So he gives a very interesting analysis based on Perkei Avos. He quotes the Mishnah in Perek Beis, Rabbi Elazar ben Arach Omer, Havi Shakud Lomo Torah, should be a masmid, a shaktan, as they say, be a big masmid in your learning. Dama lohashiv lapikaris, that's where the phrase comes from, the Mishnah in Perkei Avos. Should know how to respond when apikaris gives an argument against the Torah or Yiddishkeit, you should know how to respond. V'dal ifnei mata amel, and you should know, so to speak, what we sometimes think of as, you know, who are you standing in front of. And you should realize that this person you're, so to speak, working for, Hashem's going to, you know, at the end of the month, Hashem's going to pay your salary. He's not going to make like it's not going to be like that FTX guy, right? It's not going to be all smoke and mirrors, right? We're not going to. It's going to actually be there. Right? That's Perkei Avos. That's the mission of Perkei Avos. So says Rav Volbi, last line of the page. Eileheim shloshes hadvarim sh'amar Rav Elazar ben Arach. Now, these are three things that Rav Elazar ben Arach says are three very foundational principles, one of which is this idea. Furthermore, he points out, also in Perkei Avos, also in Perek Beis, I think later in that same Perek, who Omer, the same Rav Elazar says, Ki adercha yishara sheyedabek bo ha'adam hu leiv tov. If you recall, that's the mission of Perkei Avos, because, you know, everyone should pick one thing, that's the one thing that they should do. And different Tanaim then say what they think that one thing is. And it's none other than the same Rav Elazar, says Rav Albi, who says, what's that one thing? Leiv tov. Now it's clear, now we don't have two, we only have a few more minutes left, it's not a Perkei Avos here anyway, right? Leiv tov in the context here does not mean the way we sometimes refer to ourselves. She has a good heart. Right? When we say that about a person, we mean midos tovos, chesed, and that's fine, that's the modern term of use of the word. But that's not, I don't think that's necessarily what he's referring to, right? He's talking about something, not necessarily excluding that, something much more comprehensive than that, a spiritually refined heart, leiv tov. So the same Rabbi Elazar ben Arach, who earlier in the same parak says there's these three important things, also says a leiv tov is the key. So says Rav Volbi, quoting earlier, so he doesn't say who he's quoting, he says, k'mavur b'mefarshim, top of the second page, and as the commentaries point out, these two statements of Rav Elazar are not detached, they're not disconnected. There's a connection between those three, these two statements. That is to say, harigimu advaram hanal, heim heim hamevius adam lidei leiv tov. Why did he say you need to do these three things? Because these are the three things he thinks are critical to getting to what he thinks is the goal, what he calls leiv tov. So, says Rav Volbi, now that we've done that, now let's unpack that. Right? To sit and learn, to be a masmid, to come, to push yourself, to be in a shir on a Friday morning. Wow! Right? That's going to help you get to a leiv tov. That's intuitive, understandable. Right? So also, that belief of Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is Neman, L'porei Achovo, if you do the right thing, Hashem will reward you, right? You, right? A person needs that faith. You understand, those are intuitive, he says. But what you also see from this mission is, U'behechrech aleinu lavin, what we also have to understand is, Ki gam b'li yediyah ma'lo hashiv l'apikaris, Yefsher l'hagia l'idei leiv tov. There is this ma'la, this that we're trying to achieve, which is this more completely wholesome and refined spiritual personality, that if a person doesn't have, if a person just has, so to speak, that pure faith. But the second a cynic, the second an apikaris would ask a question, I'm not saying that, I don't think he's referring to someone who would all of a sudden crumble and give up, but a person who couldn't, and start answering like sometimes from people answer, which is not always so impressive, right, and saying silly things, right? If a person does not have that ability, that level of additional sophistication, again, which is not the essence, if a person would spend their whole lives running after that, Rav Volbi would say, you've missed the point of Yiddishkeit. He said, that's not me, Kari Emuna. Right? But it is something that supports it. You're missing something, Rabbi Elazar, if you don't have this. MS, he thinks, Pashto, it's really, he thinks it's very compelling. Ki kol dea apikarsus chosemes bifnei halev. Right? It's like a blockage, right? It's like, you know, somebody who goes to the cardiologist and they find out they have a stima, right? They have a blockage. So it in itself isn't the heart. It's not what, you know, it's not contributing one way or the other. But if you don't get rid of it, it prevents the heart from doing its job, right? Or what we sometimes have, the other image we have already in the Torah for this is Arlas Halev, which is a very, very powerful image. Right? And that's what he's kind of more or less describing here. Hare muchrach kol adam lamod tamid al ha-mishmar ulanakos atmo mikol avaka bikar susam emalei kol kach es chalal ha-olam lios kechozek betainus shisichlios negid ha-deos ha-nifsadot. So here's Rav Obi, you know, giving a very strong vote for some level of grounding our belief in rationalism and intellectualism. And again, I think this is, unfortunately, at the moment, somewhat countercultural in the firm world, because there's much more of a celebration now of dafka, non-intellectualism. I find it in many areas of my life, I find people look at the word intellectual as a dirty word, which to me is mind-boggling, if anyone ever learned Gemara. And in a Judaism that's found that's you know, predicated on Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. And yet here we are. And, you know, people, not only young people, but especially young people, but even sometimes older people, are dafka more, you know, the less they understand, the more attracted to the idea, right? If they can understand it, it's not exciting anymore, right? So all of this, Rav Obi doesn't seem to be a fan of, at least in part. I'm not saying there's no role of non-rationalism. I'm not saying there's no role of emotional and other things. But here he makes the point. A person needs to be able to have tainos sichlios, or you have to be able to rationally ground your faith, at least to some level. Hashkafos nechonos adayin eina emuna. And again, he's repeating. He's not saying that this is emuna. Understanding the way the world is supposed to be, having a rational basis, the ability to articulate a sophisticated understanding. It's not emuna, but on the other hand, biladehani efshar lahagili de emuna shebelev. But if you don't have that, then you're not really going to have a deep emuna. Last but not least, number four, yesh asher medabrim al emuna umitkavnim lemadrega hakravo ma'od el dveikus b'Hashem. Says there are other times, another way that people use the term, and he seems to be okay with that. I'm not sure who the people are or the sources are. He's not quoting any of them now. But he says, but sometimes when we talk about emuna, what we're really describing is something very close to what we also call dveikus. That is feeling Hashem in our lives, feeling that we're close to Him. Ube'emes, Adam Godel Hachai Be'emuna. So he says it makes sense. A person who truly, truly has emuna, motzit atzmo, mushrash belokut. Right? A person who really, really believes. So he feels and he sees Hashem everywhere. We spoke about this in last week's share, if I'm not mistaken, right? We gave, you know, the example, right? You know, that's the classic rabbi joke about the person, you know, looking for the parking spot, right? Or the old one, you know, with the flood, he's on the top of the house, right? If you have a muna, you see Hashem. You see Hashem, unfortunately. For whatever reason, Hashem made me miss the meeting. I miss it. And Hashem Dafka helped me make the flight. And whatever all the different things are. If a person truly has a muna, then Taka, you're going to feel Hashem everywhere. You're going to be, mamele, you're going to be double to Hashem because you're going to feel Him. You're going to see Him everywhere. And he quotes a very powerful Rashbam. Right, the Rashbam, not known to be quoted often in inspirational chizuk svarim, the Rashbam, the Pashtan par excellence, Rashi's grandson, in Baal Oscha, on the pasuk Lokein Avni Moshe b'chol Beisi Nemanhu. Right, so it talks about how there's no one ever like Moshe; he's the most faithful. What does that mean? Ki Beisi Nemanhu, says the Rashbam, Kavua o Miyusad Kol Sha Biyom Ukamo Utkativ Yeter B'Mokom Neeman. Yeter hatakua b'mokom chazak eino memaher lipol. I may have mispronounced one of those words. But basically, he said, what does it mean to be Neman? How does Rashbam explain it? He was completely connected, attached to Hashem kol shabayom, every moment. It was as if you took, what's the yeter, a peg, right? Or, right, that's not the right word, a peg? A peg, right? What's the other word?
Spike
or a peg, right? Like you would hold a tent, right? And it's firmly, firmly hammered into the ground, right? It ain't moving. Yet it hatakua, but makom chazak is not moving. If you put it in strong, right, you're not falling anytime soon, that tent. Inyan ze shel emuna, hisod misod ha Torah, v'darga nifla, amadrega zu, tabas nafsho, shel kol hamavakesh Hashem. This is ultimately what everyone wants, is this fourth thing. To have a belief in Hashem so real, to have Him so much a tziur, as he had said in the second point here, that a person feels Hashem everywhere, that yeted kavua, his mamish, his kavua, that everything in my life, the good, the bad, the ugly, hopefully more good, but it's all because we feel Hashem in our life. That's another dimension. Again, we'll explicate different points in the coming chapters, but these are the four different dimensions of the emunah that he thinks a person should consider.